back to Talk of the Town. I am Steve Knox, and your host. Joining me on the phone is Mr. Peter Lamage. Mr. Lamage is a small businessman, practicing attorney. He owns the law offices of Lamage. And he is also seeking the Republican nomination to challenge incumbent U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal for his seat. Mr. Lamage, welcome to Talk of the Town.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Looking forward to our conversation. Your backstory is extremely interesting, and I think we've had you on before to talk about this, but just to remind everybody, you're not, you were originally born in communist-ruled Albania?
That is correct, sir. 32 years ago, my three brothers and I, Tony, Paulie, and Freddie, we decided to escape communist Albania because we wanted to search for freedom and opportunity. And what happened that at that time, anyone whoever we even thought about doing that could have been imprisoned or even killed. So we took that risk. And the moment we were able to make it to a refugee camp in Yugoslavia, my entire family, including my parents, seven siblings that I left behind, nieces and nephews, they were taken to a concentration camp. And that's where my father was tortured to death because he had failed to notify the government that we wanted to escape. And when I tell people that I believe that my father sacrificed his life so his sons could live in freedom, I firmly believe he did that. And we find freedom and opportunity here. And everything that I found here 32 years ago and I left behind in Eastern Europe is being challenged now. And whether we like it or not, I mean, socialism is here, and we must defeat it because I've seen that evil ideology. I've seen what it does to people. I've seen what it does to a nation. And it's a movie that I don't like the ending of it, and that's why I'm involved in this election.
Well, see, and that's why I love so much about your story is because you have seen this firsthand. You know, you can go to any college campus and hear people talk about the wonders of socialism. You can hear all these young people talk about how capitalism is a horrible system and socialism and everything else in it. But it's like they have no experience whatsoever with the reality of it. It's all this pie in the sky, wonderful, you know, unicorn based economy where the reality is it is one of the worst systems possible when it comes to allowing for a free society.
The greatness of this nation can be seen through the eyes of refugees. We are the people who come to the United States and jeopardize everything, including our lives, because we know it's the greatest country in the world. We don't see people from the United States escaping to Cuba or North Korea or Russia, for that matter. All these countries, they have borders not to allow their own citizens to leave. Yet we barely have borders, but if we have borders right now, we're trying to prevent people from coming here illegally. If American capitalism were so bad, why would people from various walks of life and different ethnic and religious backgrounds, they wouldn't come here? They come here because of the greatness of this nation. And then we have a lot of work to do as Americans to make sure that our children and generations to come, they inherit a greater America than we inherited from our forefathers. And if we follow the founding documents of this country, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, they are clearly stating that we have God-given rights. When you read the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, we are endowed by the Creator with those rights. And then we wrote a Constitution to make sure that we have a limited government with enumerated powers to make sure that they do not infringe, the government does not infringe on our rights. And these are things that I think our educational system is completely failing our children to teach them the proper greatness of this nation and the founding documents.
That's one of the things that always just annoys me to no end when people talk about how we're granting you the right for this, we've given you the right to do that. And it's so upside down in my mind that people don't understand. The government doesn't give you any rights. The Bill of Rights doesn't grant you rights. The Bill of Rights recognizes the rights that you inherently have and then tells the government you can't encroach upon those.
Look, that is the argument that I make everywhere that I speak, that if the government is granting us rights and has the power to do that, they would have the power to modify those rights. They would have the power to remove those rights. They would have the power to do anything they want to do if that is the case. And the founding fathers of this country, they were geniuses. They recognize the fact that we are God's creatures. He created us with these rights. And therefore, no one should be able to deny those rights without due process to any one of us. And as I said, I mean, we're failing our children by not educating them properly. Last night, I was delivering a speech in some town, and I was asked, what is the United States Senate? And my answer was that the United States Senate is the final battleground to push back the militant socialist agenda. It is the last place where Americans can go for checks and balances by consenting and advising the president on Supreme Court nominations, on cabinet-level positions, treaties, the Federal Reserve, foreign policy, you name it. That's where, you know, the separation of powers is so significant that we are losing it right now. We live in a post-constitutional republic, unfortunately.
So what inspired you to get into the race for the Senate?
I ran before, and I used that as a joke when I talked to people that that was the warm-up. I'm not going to give up on this country. I love this country. I became an American by choice. I wasn't born here. I could have gone to any country in the world I wanted as a refugee, but I chose to come to the United States. And the reason why I chose to come to the United States is because of what America stands for. And we don't want to lose that. I'm blessed with three beautiful kids. My entire family is here now. Besides my father's grave in Albania, I have nothing else left over there. And if we lose this country, the war is gone. Look what's happening in Europe right now with Russia. If the world doesn't fear and respect us, we are the last battleground to defend humanity. And therefore, I firmly believe that ordinary folks like you and I have to get involved. And if we don't get involved, our children and grandchildren are going to ask us that question years from now. What did you do to save this country?
How does it make you feel when you see people like Senator Blumenthal speaking before a communist organization as he did recently?
Look, I think he's the greatest recruiter for the Communist Party, USA. It was an insult. It was an insult to me, to my family, to millions of people who escaped Eastern Europe. When you have a United States senator, sitting senator, who goes to Communist Party, USA, and I quote him when he said, "I'm elated to be here and proud of the work that you have done." I mean, and at the end he said, "Oh, I didn't know I was there." I mean, if you don't know where you are, I don't think you should be, you know, attending those events. But that was an insult. Blumenthal or anyone else for that matter who embraces this ideology, if they can point out one good thing about communism, I'll have that debate with them. On the other hand, his wife invested in China, Chinese link company. And he claims that he didn't know that the wife invested $250,000 and made $1 million out of it. I mean, his connection to the Communist Party should perturb each and every one of us. When he got sworn in as a U.S. senator, he got sworn in to uphold and defend and protect the Constitution of the United States, not the Communist Party pamphlet, whatever they have, whatever they stand for.
It really was kind of a surprise, not only that he would be willing to go there and speak, but then B, try to deny that he realized where he was. Although, you know, considering Richard Blumenthal's history, he'll speak at the opening of a can of tuna. So, you know, it's no surprise that he'll show up anywhere there's a camera and a spotlight and a microphone. But, you know, you would think that someone who is supposedly so intelligent, so informed, so on point, that he would know better than to, especially coming into an election year, be seen in front of a group of communists.
Look, I have yet to hear Blumenthal talk about the inflation that we're facing, the Federal Reserve, the currency depreciation, the wage growth, the price stability. I have yet to hear this senator talk about kitchen table issues that we're facing in our state. On the other hand, he's one of the richest United States senators, if I'm not mistaken, the richest one, with over $100 million in his bank account. And God bless him, I have no problems with that. But I don't think he understands what we're going through with what we're facing right now with inflation and the currency that is depreciating every single day. And these are issues that he and I and others who are involved in this race should be able to discuss. We should be able to talk about the institutional threat that we're facing in the United States, the ideological threat that we're facing in the United States, the Supreme Court that they want to ban, the border that is a mess, the prestige of the United States right now, which we have become a joke. Nobody fears us any longer. And as Reagan said, I would rather be feared than respected. Let's get the fear, you know, up and running one more time. And he doesn't talk about any one of these issues. On the other hand, he would go to Communist Party USA and, you know, pretty much promote that party, which, you know, as I said, I should perturb each and every one of us.
So how are you doing as far as fundraising? How's your campaign going so far?
We have raised a reasonable amount of money. We have over $185,000 in 6 weeks. I'm getting donations from all over the United States. There are people from Florida donating $10, $15, $20. I have people from Chicago, New York, Connecticut, obviously. I think the money is going to be there, but no one can win against Blumenthal just because we may have a certain amount of money. He's got more than us. We're not going to outrace him when it comes to money. What's going to defeat him is the character and the fortitude and the backbone to confront him in a peaceful manner, obviously, and point out the major differences between the two ideological beliefs that we have. We still believe in the greatness of this country and the separation of powers and the Constitution and the duty of Christian values and the family values. And everything that America stands for is based on those values. And they want to destroy them. East party wants to destroy them. So we're going to have that honest debate. It's not about the money, it's about the work that we do.
One of the things that I've always had a problem with, again, with Senator Blumenthal, is that he doesn't really seem to care much about what's happening here in the state of Connecticut. It's all about kind of raising up his own national profile. We've seen that when he sits on these hearings with the Supreme Court justices and just the despicable treatment that he gave to Kavanaugh and even to Amy Coney Barrett. What are your thoughts on how he has behaved as a senator for the state of Connecticut?
The voters in our state, they are smart. I think they are realizing that he's been misleading us for way too long. I think that they will give the Republicans an opportunity. As long as the Republicans get the right candidate to run against him and doesn't use the same playbook that the Republican Party has been using since 2006. Since 2006 to present, the Republicans have lost every election. And all the candidates, these 30 elections, all the Republican candidates have two things in common. They were the party favorites, and they were the ones who were afraid to be Republicans. I happen not to be a party favorite, and I'm not afraid to be a Republican. And I'm going to have that fight with him the moment I'm hoping I'll get the nomination, or if I get 15% of the delegates, I'm going to primary. And if I win the primary, I would like to debate him on these issues, because I don't think a Republican would have done the same thing that he did to those two justices. Unjustifiably, they would not have done it, and he had no reasons to do it, and those were personal attacks. They were not based on their qualifications to serve.
Now, you brought up the fact that you are probably the most conservative candidate in the race so far, and Connecticut is generally considered a blue state, although I would argue, if you look at the close races across the state that we have every election, we're not as blue as people make us out to be. How do you run as a conservative candidate in a state like Connecticut?
I'm running as a constitutionalist, and I believe that we are a constitutional state, and therefore we should be constitutionalists. But I'll tell you, in 2014, I was the nominee for Secretary of the State, and we experimented with Waterbury. I got more votes in Waterbury with various ethnic groups who never voted Republican than Tom Foley got. I did better than Tom Foley and Heather Summers, who was the LG candidate in many cities and towns. As Republicans, we have ignored certain ethnic groups in our state for way too long. They never see us. I started talking to pastors in Bridgeport and Hartford and New Britain. And I'm connecting with at least 50,000 Eastern Europeans who never voted before in any election. And they would vote Republican if we convince them that our party and our positions are better than what the Democrats are offering to them. But we have to go over there and talk to them and explain to them and not be afraid to go to certain towns that we believe that the Democrat Party pretty much has a control over those towns. The argument that we have to make, if you go to Bridgeport, I mean, it's been a very straightforward question. How is your educational system doing? How is your employment doing? Look at the prices that are hitting you. Right now, IRS wants to hire 80,000 IRS agents. That is a force greater than the active military force of Great Britain. They are going to go after you and I. We have to defeat the scope and reach of the government that we have here. Otherwise, that is the definition of socialism, when the government has command and control over our lives and finances and what we do on a daily basis.
Well, I mean, every once in a while, the mask falls. And just recently, Justice Sotomayor said on the Supreme Court that if the government is paying for your health care, the government should have a say in what that health care is, and you should just simply comply. I mean, I thought that was one of the most amazingly honest statements from someone on the left that I think I've ever heard.
Look, compliance concerns me. Civil disobedience without causing problems, is something that America stands for. I mean, if we disagree with the government doesn't own anything. They have no money. It is our money. The relationship between the government and the governed has to change. They work for us. We don't work for them. But for us, they wouldn't be there. They go there to represent us. So Justice Sotomayor, I think she missed the point when she completely ignored the fact that we are a federal republic, that we have a federal government, that we have a constitution, that we have a declaration of independence, that there is a unique relationship between the government and the governed, and the government serves us. So I disagree with her on that.
Well, Peter, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you here, and I wish you a lot of luck in your campaign. It sounds like you've got a lot of passion here, and I do like your message. And again, your history speaks volumes because, as I said earlier, people like yourself, you've seen it firsthand. You've lost your father to communism. You've seen the destruction that socialism can cause. I don't know how much more evidence people need to see it when you see it happening in places like Venezuela and other countries where every time they move in that direction, it is just devastating to the country. And then we look at where we stand today with $30 trillion in debt and just massive amounts of spending, and they're not done. If they're given the freedom to do it, they're going to continue to do this and drive this country deeper and deeper into debt, unrecoverable debt. And, what do we have to show for it? We got massive inflation. We've got, high gas prices. We've got shortages all across the country. I mean, it's almost like it's repeating itself again, exactly what happened in Venezuela.
Absolutely. And look, I would encourage your listeners to take a look at peterlamage.com and take a look at my webpage and see what I stand for. I hope they're going to give me a chance in May when I go to the convention to get at least 15% of the delegates, which I firmly believe I will. And I'm not going to let them down. I'm going to win the primary, and I'm going to defeat Blumenthal, and I'm going to defeat his ideology that I disagree with it.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck in this campaign, and I think you might have the right strategy here by focusing on some of the bigger cities. I think that's a huge mistake that Republicans make every election year, is they just figure they're gone, and so they don't even try. And I think if you did go into some of these communities with the message that you have, I think you'll be able to persuade a lot of people over to your side.
We'll definitely do so, sir.
Peter Lamage, again, thank you very much for your time here, sir, and again, good luck with the campaign.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Take care. I think Mr. Lamage has got a great message to give here, and I think he just needs the opportunity to get out there and have that message heard. You can hear he's certainly energized for this. So, again, as I said, someone like himself who has seen the absolute utter devastation of the policies that we seem to be pursuing here in this country with his own eyes. In fact, losing his own father. I mean, you can't say it can't happen here because it is happening here. You've got people who've been in prison for over a year without even being charged, no opportunity to be let out on bail, simply because they were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. I mean, cities have burned to the ground. People have been murdered in other protests across the country, and nothing happens to them. They're let out immediately. So don't think it can't happen to political enemies of the government. We're doing it now, and it's a disgrace. And so we need more people, I think, like Mr. Lamage up there who have seen it, can talk about it from a firsthand perspective, and just let people know that it's inevitable, the outcome of that kind of policy. To do everything we can to stop it. So I appreciate this time here today. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back with more Talk of the Town after these words.